silly season going on for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The real season going on for the Cleveland Guardians right now, 32-26. Still looking good amongst themselves, keeping their head above water as they welcome in some guys. And we'll welcome in Terry Pluto to talk about all these things. Cleveland Plain Dealer, you've read his books. You've seen his books, I'm sure. If you're a sports fan at all, you've read one of his books. How many books have you written now, Terry?
Too many.
Terry, I said last week that one of my first, maybe the first sports book I ever read was one that you wrote about pro basketball, I think in the mid-90s. Falling from grace, I think it was.
Really?
And it got me
started.
You're
one of the few. I should probably just come over and shake your hand.
Terry,
that did not do real well. Like I said, I've written too many.
Falling from grace. Can Terry's book career?
I got that royalty statement. It said one book sold, or at least stolen, and I now know who did it. So,
Jaga West Library, Terry. Wow. They had your whole catalog.
Okay, well, that's great.
That's beautiful.
No, I appreciate that. It's probably more than 30. And the blood, Chris, remember, I've been writing, you know, I started writing right after the New Testament was published. So that was a couple of centuries ago. And I'm just glad to be able to still be in the game, as they say.
I want to start.
Joe Flacco and I are hanging on here.
Terry Pluto joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm going to start Guardians with you real quick. Keith Law, I mean, we are 2 months into the season. Keith Law actually admits that when he ranks the top 50 prospects, but he has Travis Bezanna still 25th. Now, this is Keith Law of The Athletic, and he said he's worried about Travis Bezanna. Very steep swing, he writes, striking out 28% of the time. Is there any reason to be worried about Travis Bezanna already? I know you talk to everybody. Is there anybody going, maybe it's going to take a little longer than we thought?
They'd like to see more, I'll tell you that. I mean, it's unfortunate that he did the oblique thing, because that's the kind of injury that goes on like 4 to 8 weeks. And he was starting, he got off to a crappy start. I think in May he was hitting like 280 with OPS like around 750. So he was starting to hit. You know, I've watched him because he's not real big physically or anything. It's hard to say, boy, he just looks like the top pick in the draft or anything. But baseball is a strange sport. I mean, who is the best player on the Guardians and what does he look like right now? I mean, physically, what's he look like?
You're talking about Jose?
Yeah. Physically, that's the closest thing I could think of.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I'm not saying he will be, but that's why it's so hard to judge. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Jose in it was in a spring training game in 2013. He was 20 years old and came up from A-ball, and he was in the same game with Frankie Lindor. And I was sitting with Mark Shapiro, who was running the team back then. And, you know, I was, Lindor, that's great. You knew who he was, first round pick. And this little guy's playing second base, and he turns a double play, and he like gets a base hit, steals a base. And I'm like, who is that guy? And he goes, well, that's Jose Ramirez. And I go, I never heard of him. He said, well, just look him up. And he had like 350 in Lake County, I think, the year before. But he was nobody's prospect. He didn't look like – he wasn't as stocky as he is now, but he was small. And nobody even back then, and Ruddy, by the way, Shapiro said he's got a chance to be special, but nobody thought he was going to hit a bunch of home runs or anything. And that's why baseball's kind of cool. There's a lot of people that go against the physical norm that you expect of players. But in terms of Bezanna, you know, need to get healthy and get going. I mean, that would be my thought.
What have you thought of this season so far? We're past Memorial Day. I said right as we brought you on, their heads above water. I've had a lot of people.
They're not above water. They got the third best record in the American League.
Well, see, that's great, because I had a lot of pushback on that stuff last week, Terry.
I mean, right? You face your competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not fantasy ball, or you get extra points for whatever. You know, the Tigers are having a great year, and I think that's what they're kind of doing. What the Guardians did last year, they bolted from the gate, and it really helps. And I guess my view would be, it's not like this team is overachieving to be 32-26 with injuries and problems, but they are 32-26. So then I looked and said, well, what are they against teams over 500? Any idea there, guys?
I wish I could tell you, Terry. I really wish I could tell you.
19-15.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Because I got some pushback, and this turns into a really wonky ownership conversation, as it always does.
I know. The Dolans are cheap. Let's hang up. And boy, how about the Browns? They spend money.
Well, because I'm being told I carry.
You can tell I'm. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But last week, I can't. Listen, I sympathize with the frustrations of fans, but at the same time, I understand what this is about. They had the rug pulled out from under them in the TV contract. I've seen other teams take their haircut because they had to get out of their contracts earlier. So this is the year we take it. I'm going, okay, as long as they put on a good show and they keep, quote-unquote, their heads above water and give it a chance, I still think it's going to be a successful season.
I mean, one of the things we have to say, since Terry Francona and Antonetti, paired up in 2013, obviously Tito's gone, but they've never been bad.
They never have. So
I've never been bad. And they're not going to be bad again this year.
No.
And the mistake I made last year when I picked them to be 72-90, I forgot that. So just to weigh up how smart I can be sometimes. But I just didn't like, in fact, I didn't like the bullpen. They had the best bullpen in baseball. I mean, all this kind of stuff where I was really wrong. And my view is, where before I would always pick them, to finish over 500. I was never like wild predictions, but I would stay in. Once it got established how Tito managed the team and how they were running, it's like these guys are never going to be bad right now. And I see the same thing with Vogt coming in, and they find ways to, like you said, not only keep your head above water, but also keep hope alive, and legitimately. I mean, I'm just looking. If you break it down, it kind of makes no sense. They're between like 8th and 10th and earn run average and run scored and stuff. There's nothing about the team that even the bullpen ERA is just like average. There's nothing about them that stands out like last year, but yet they're 32-26.
All right, Terry Pluto, join us on the hotline. Let's get over to basketball. And there have been a lot of hypothetical Darius Garland trades, for instance, not to mention Jared Allen. Is there anything that makes sense to you that you've heard so far?
I don't know. I mean, I've always been a Jalen Suggs fan. Again, I was the genius that thought they'd been better off taking Suggs in the draft than Evan Mobley. So there's another smart one for me. But I like Suggs. I would not trade straight up Garland for Suggs. By the way, if they make a trade, they have to. This gets really wonky, that second apron and all that stuff. They would have to do it, I believe, before July 1st, because after that, they're in the apron thing. And that means, you can't trade, Garland for Jalen Suggs and someone else. It has to be a straight-up contract-for-contract deal. You can't put two contracts together. That's one of the big things of that. So that, I think, hits on July 1st for Cleveland and several other teams. So if they're going to make a move, they'd have to do it then. I don't know. I'm really divided on Garland because...
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. T&Cs apply.
You could obviously see the skill. I mean, he's a good guy, everything else. But he's had trouble being healthy by playoff time. And I've always had some doubts about the small backcourt in terms of going deep in the playoffs. So, I mean, I would be open to talks about him. We'll see. But I haven't heard anything say, boy, they got... I wouldn't trade him, even though I like Suggs, I wouldn't trade him straight up for Suggs, because Suggs gets hurt too. But I really like his game. I believe Suggs would fit better, not be a better player now, but fit better with Donovan. But that's my thought.
Terry, I also think this is one thing that really isn't being talked about by a lot of people. They're just looking at talent level, and they're looking at all-stars and everything. I'm saying that I actually think maybe down the road what Evan Mobley needs the most is – that he needs the ball in his hands. He needs to up the usage. Well, how do you do that with two guards that want the ball, have the ball, and are constantly, dribbling and taking shots? Well, maybe you alleviate that by getting rid of one of those guys and bring in somebody who's longer, more athletic, and can play defense.
And if you look at the teams that are in the finals, you get SGA, and I forgot who the other guard is. The other, and the same thing with Indiana, you have Neesmith and those guys. It's like they have like one main guard, and then he has these kind of guys that could float in and out. You know, there's some are defenders, some come off the bench and score. They don't have an all-star backcourt. And maybe that's the way to go. It's a fascinating thing to watch what's happened with the NBA, where, you know, the rise of teams that are not star dominated. They do have stars, but it's nothing like, you know, the LeBron, Kevin Love, all that we had here, Kyrie, or even some of the Golden State great teams that they have. It's from a purist standpoint, it's a lot of fun. I'm sure the networks are just thrilled to have Indiana and OKC in the finals.
Well, I got to tell you, Terry, you just gave me a leaping off point for the next segment here about the fit and the talent, and maybe I'm living in the past here, but I don't want to give it away just yet, because, boy, you're making me think about, I've been making this argument over the last couple of weeks, and maybe I need to do an about face coming up at 9:22. I want to ask you this, though. I'm already tired of hearing about Dylan Gabriel's height. Are you tired of hearing about Dylan Gabriel's height and all the other stuff concerning these two rookie quarterbacks?
Yeah, I just want to see him play. And be fun. The cool thing is, at least in the preseason games, we could watch him because those guys will be playing. So that'll be fun. But the height, I mean, odds are, look, I'd rather have a quarterback that's 6'3 than 5'11. I mean, that's for sure. But once in a while, somebody defies, you know, like we had just talked about, whether it's Jose Ramirez or the Guardians taking Bizana. You know, now Jack Kilgallon, the guy that Royals just called up, he was picked fourth or fifth in the draft. Jack Kilgallon, I think, like Joe Kilgallon, just got called up. He looked like he walked out of the central casting of the, you know, the guy that's, here's your super player. And he's the one that came up. I remember looking at tapes of him playing at Florida. He was both a pitcher and an outfielder. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's got a big swing. I don't know. And now he's the first one to make the big leagues from that draft. So you never do know. And the same thing with quarterbacks, for the most part, they look a certain way. But there's, you know, there are guys that defy the type. And it's a third-round pick. Same thing with Shador. It's a fifth-round pick. You know, you feel good about a six-foot guy in the third round, take him. Fine.
Terry Pluto joining us here. All right, what is your thoughts on Shador Sanders from what you've talked to, from the people you talked to? Like, we played his father talking about the stuff that he feels is made up about his meetings and why he fell so far in the draft. What do you know, Terry?
I think Deion would have been better off just saying we could have handled it better. That would have really been better off. And they could have, because they, you know, they didn't throw the ball at the Senior Bowl. Would have been a thing that really would have helped him. He was there for interviews, but he didn't take part. These other quarterbacks did. And there were certain teams that they did, be it blow-off interviews or just didn't do a great job because they just assumed they were being the pick higher. They totally miscalculated the draft. And instead of talking to the draft experts, they probably should have done more work with the teams. And see, that's where an agent comes into play. I don't know if you know, but Shiloh Sanders, you know, was also represented by the father. Mm-hmm. And then Shiloh was not drafted. In fact, right after the draft was over, he hired Drew Rosenhaus to get him a job with the, I believe he went to Miami. So you need an agent sometime who's locked in more, can give you more of a objective view than a father who loves his sons.
You know, you were right about this, because I just read an article in The Athletic. I hate to, you know, give other people publicity here while I'm talking to a man from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, but I have to do it. About the fear that these NFL coaches and even college coaches are really having with these fathers of quarterbacks, these QB dads that they're being talked about, and how like they have to almost reprogram these dads or they end up in some of these bad situations. And I wonder if that, I'm a fan of Deion. I'm in that age group,
right,
Terry, but maybe he did cost his son in so many ways.
All he had to do was just turn it over to an agent. That's all. I'm sure Deion has an agent. I'm sure there's other agents.
Yeah.
And then just back off and let them do it. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. I'm not that I'm a big time writer or whatever, but for my books, I have an agent because I've had the same agent for over 40 years. And once in a while, she tells me, you know, that's not a good idea. And I need to hear that.
All right, Terry, we were talking about your books at the start of this interview. So I'll conclude saying this. You had a book, False Start, How the New Browns Were Set Up to Fail. And in that, you you talked about the
state. How about that? Here we are 25 years later.
Well, you talked about the Rush Stadium setup and all that. We're having a stadium conversation again, and it's gotten very ugly politically with the city and county, the state, and the Haslams. What is your take on all of this right now?
My fact is, other than everybody's got their own agenda, nobody really wants to talk to each other. They talk at each other. And until that changes, you know, not a lot's going to get done. You know, for the Haslams, right now, they are in that thing of public opinion where no matter what they do, it's wrong, you know, for some people, even if they have a good idea, because of just the Sean Watson thing and the history there. And, you know, a lot of public officials, just that this is a good, this is a talker. This gets their name out there. I mean, a lot of people who are in different public arenas of politics are suddenly getting more publicity now than they ever do because they're involved in the Browns thing. So to me, it's just it sounds like a dodge, but it's so much noise and it's so hard to be able for me to even keep track of what's right. I have to admit, I've kind of tuned out on some part of it, and I'm just like, these guys are eventually going to figure out what they want to do, but until then, they're just going to scream. There are a bunch of people yelling at each other in a room and trying to look for an audience. It's like really bad political talk on TV.
Terry Pluto on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Terry, thank you very much for the time. We hope to talk to you again very soon.
Great. Take care, guys.
You too. Terry Pluto on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right.